For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You have a lot of me this morning, so shall we bow our heads to pray? We might need it. Lord, we ask you through your Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us into the right thoughts and processes, to use what we are told this morning to your benefit and to your glory. And we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so the reading from 1 Corinthians, just to say, well, we haven't started at the start. No, because we're foolish. Okay, so how do we understand if we are foolish? Foolish people go to church. Foolish people believe in a God who can't be touched, heard, smelt, or talked to. Foolish people give money to the poor, to the church, and in fact, we should give all of our money away. Foolish people have cars, houses, clothes, or anything that ties them to the material world. Those are all comments, theories, beliefs that have been said by Christian people and others throughout the ages. All think or have thought that they have the true wisdom of God. The only problem is that it is foolish human wisdom. Paul is a plain speaker. In our reading today, we start at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. So we start with, or at, God's wisdom. Paul, I am reliably informed, was not an impressive speaker. He was plain and very down to earth, so I take my example from him. He wanted people who listened to him to be impressed by his message, not by his presentation of that message. That doesn't mean he was a Boris, no content and much bluster. He was solid in the truth that he presented. The power of the story was in the content and not the delivery. Yes, it is good to present God's word well, but the spiritual power is in the words themselves. We are just foolish presenters of the same. So turn around and look at the people, foolish people around you, and wave. Wave, come on. We're all foolish, I'm sorry to tell you. Even John. He knew he was going to get in this somewhere, didn't you? So, we've all waved. And the fact is that we're all foolish in God's eyes. But he still loves us. Yes, we should be well prepared. Our testimony, our own story of how we found Jesus for ourselves should be prepared and practiced. We are foolish and need as much practice as possible. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 6, which we didn't cover because we haven't done that bit yet, so you'll have to look for yourselves if you're not sure. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Paul lays out his beliefs not in lofty words and impressive wisdom, but in plain language and speech that we shall see in the later in the series. Our own knowledge is helpful, but the only thing we can rely on is God's wisdom and word through the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, where is the wise person? You can put your hands up if you wish. No. So, where is the teacher of the law? Oh, I think some of us can go down that avenue occasionally. Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? God has always given the same message. Do not rely on your own wisdom, rely on me. Because he loves us, he will lead us into the right conclusions. In Isaiah 29, verse 14, it says, therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. God has always had the solution. Rely on him only. So we actually need to go to think, what is foolishness? Our second point is that God does not think like us. The creator of everything has everything under his control, and he has always had the ultimate solution to our foolishness, Jesus. The only problem is that because we are foolish, we miss the point of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Do you think, therefore, that Jesus was stupid to let himself be killed on a cross? Do you think he was maybe a fraud, a chancer who got it wrong and got himself killed in a most horrible way? Was he misunderstood and killing him was a big mistake? Or was he God in human form following his Father's plan? If you believe the last explanation, you are close to salvation or you're already there. Jesus was following and relying on his Father's plan. He took the weight of everybody's sin onto himself, and therefore those sins were dealt with once and for all. All that we've ever done wrong has been dealt with once and for all. In these verses, Paul explains that death was the only way to gain life. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. So we're okay, John, if we preach foolishness. Okay. It says so there. I read it. God has solved the problem of death, and so we come to find our final point. How does death save us from our foolishness? Many Jews and people now consider the death of Jesus Christ to be foolishness. Why didn't he come and destroy all the bad things in the world? Why doesn't he come as an all-conquering king with amazing signs and miracles? And I made a note here, maybe they should look at the Bible sometime. Anyway, back to death and its consequences. And what can we do about it? Hands up if you don't want to die. Come on, be truthful. Yeah, okay. I hope that is unanimous, but I am not talking about avoiding the end of our physical time on earth, because everybody dies, we know that. It is certain that we will die at some point, but we don't know when. But, a big but, we do have a way, because God has a plan. Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. So to avoid eternal death, belief is the key. A literal turning to God through Jesus. Jesus has done all the terrible work. He suffered. He was beaten, stripped, and hung on a cross of wood. For what sin? Only our sins, because he didn't sin. So if he didn't sin, we actually nailed him to the cross with thousands of years of wrongdoing. Everything that has been done, everything now being done, and everything wrong that will be done, it was all dealt with by Christ Jesus on that one cross. There is no need for another. Once we turn to Jesus, everything is dealt with once and for all. Now, we've got the cross on the table. That cross is empty. And the reason it's empty is because there's no need for another one. Jesus died on it, descended to the dead, and rose again. And that's the end of that. So remember that when you see an empty cross. So the Jews and others wanted and still want signs and miracles. They have all been provided and continue actually through the Holy Spirit. The final miracle is that believers in Jesus will be alive forever. What is stopping you believing the truth from Jesus? Paul and so many others. 22 to 24 verses. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we teach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So, will we remain foolish like the Jews and the Greeks and so many others? Or will we seek God, Jesus, and his wisdom? Once we seek him, turn to him, he will come in the power of the Holy Spirit. We will change, and others will notice that change, and so in our turn, we can pass our story to them and others. And if God desires, and I want you to note that, if God desires, they also will turn to him. For we find out, as it says in verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So, in conclusion, if God is wiser than the most wise and stronger than any human being, if God has conquered death forever through Jesus' once and for all sacrifice, what is stopping us turning to him? Even maybe right now, this morning, this moment, this second. And I would implore you, if you're not sure, please talk to us, any of the preaching team, and hopefully any of the people who've been coming to this church for a long time will be able to point people through their own story to who Jesus is and why they became Christians themselves. So, human death is obviously still there, but it is not the end of our journey with God and Jesus. And we all will meet again in heaven. That is the promise made through his only Son, Jesus Christ, by God our Father. Let us pray. Lord, you are wiser than the most wise. You are our loving Creator God. As we have listened to your words this morning, enter our hearts and minds through your Holy Spirit. Lead us to make the decision to turn to you and change our lives forever. Enter into us through your Holy Spirit and through your grace, lead us home. Though we deserve nothing, we ask and come to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour, we ask these things. Amen.